السلام عليكم ورحمة الله وبركاته. نحمده ونصلي على رسوله الكريم، أما بعد. رب اشرح لي صدري ويسر لي أمري واحلل عقدة من لساني يفقه قولي. ألم نشرح لك صدرك ووضعنا عنك وزرك الذي أنقض ظهرك ورفعنا لك ذكرك. فإن مع العسر يسرا، إن مع العسر يسرا، فإذا فرغت فانصب وإلى ربك فارغب. قال الله تعالى في الفرقان الحميد: شهر رمضان الذي أنزل فيه القرآن هدى للناس وبينات من الهدى والفرقان. صدق الله العظيم. اللهم صل وسلم على سيدنا محمد وآله. My noble audience, by the grace of Allah Almighty, last week we spoke about a few aspects pertaining to the Noble Qur'an. The ending statement was that it is most important for every believer to understand the temperament and the theme of the Qur'an. We did not have much time to further discuss this point. I would like to continue from this point. There is one person that we know, and we have stayed around him for the last 30 years. And overall, we have realized that this person is very, very compassionate, very kind, very merciful. But on this journey of 30 years, once or twice, we have experienced that this same person that has represented kindness for 30 years, once or twice in the 30 years, he has become very, very angry. Now, what judgment will we pass when it comes to this one person? Will we make a judgment based upon the one or two incidents in the 30 years? Or will we make a judgment based upon the experience of 30 years? The logical choice is that we will say that this person is kind and compassionate. If he displayed anger once or twice, there is a reason behind it, and there's a valid reason behind it. Now, keeping this principle in mind and this small presentation that I have given, I would like my noble audience to study the Quran from cover to cover. Because the Quran is the kalam of Allah. Now, if we want to study the temperament of Allah, indeed the Nabi of Allah gives us an insight to that. Nabi Akram Muhammad sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, "Inna rahmati sabakat ghadabi." These are the words of Allah, that verily my mercy is overwhelming. It supersedes my anger. How do we come to know of our Creator? It is from His Kalam, His book, that descended upon the blessed heart of the Nabi of Allah. But if we open the book randomly and come across one verse in which Allah Rabbul Izzat is angry, and we disregard the entire book and take that one verse and make a judgment that Allah is very, very angry and very, very harsh, will this be a reasonable choice? Will this be a right judgment? No. The right judgment can only be made by that person that studies the entire book from cover to cover. 114 chapters. And once he has passed through the entire book and has traveled with the kalam and the words of Allah Almighty, he will realize the temperament of his Creator that has been basically told to us by the Nabi of Allah, "Inna rahmati sabaqat ghadabi." And the same applies to the life of the Nabi of Allah. Many a times people study certain stories of the seerah of the Nabi of Allah. And they take that one story and pass a judgment. It is incorrect to do that. It is unjust. It is not fair. A person needs to study the entire seerah of the Nabi of Allah. The Nabi of Allah had certain emotions. He had a certain temperament. Some people are Jalali, some people are Jamali. Some people are soft, some people are hard. Some people are temperamental, some people are in control. So the Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam is a bashar, he's a human being. He has a mizaj as well. But if we want to understand that mizaj, we cannot select a incident from his life. We need to study the entire life from start to departure to understand the mizaj of our Nabi of Allah. Now the month of Ramadan that is hovering over and above us and will fall above us in a few hours, there's a probability, and most certainly tomorrow at Maghrib will be the month of Ramadan. It demands that we pass through the entire book from cover to cover, so we can understand the mizaj of the Qur'an. So we can understand the mizaj of the one that has received the Qur'an. We can understand who our Creator is. And once we have developed that understanding, the message becomes much, much clearer. The confusion that we find in the world is that basically we have been hit by ahwal. We have been hit by events that are not favorable to any human being. And we are experiencing a mighty, mighty challenge. Now we want to find the solution from the Quran, and indeed the Quran gives the solution. But we are only turning towards those verses that we think that give the solution to that scenario. And we have disregarded the entire Quran. We need to understand the Quran from cover to cover. And once the Quran is understood, then we try to find the solution to our ahwal, challenging ahwal. And you will find that you will not disregard the temperament of the Quran, the mizaj of the Quran. And that will be the true guidance. It's just like if a person is angry when he is speaking, his tone will be very different. His tone will be very, very different. His body language will be very different compared to that person that is not angry. Likewise, when a person is angry and there are certain things that have occupied his mind, and this is negative energy, he makes wrong decisions that he regrets in the future. Now if one person with certain ahwal in his mind tries to consult with the Quran, where he is not level-headed, he's in anger, he's frustrated, and then he studies the Quran, he cannot say with certainty that the understanding that he has derived from the Quran is not contaminated with the negative energy that is in the mind. And this is one of the problems that have been faced by the Muslim Ummah. So people that are angry, they are studying the Quran with the negative energy of anger, with certain ahwal that are basically the source of that anger. And they're trying to find the solution. And they come up with wrong ideas that are basically damaging to themselves, damaging to the entire Muslim world, and damaging to the image of Islam. We need to make ample dua in the month of Ramadan that Allah grant mi'raj to the Muslimun and to Islam. Allah grant mi'raj to the Muslimun and to Islam. Now, the month of Ramadan that is arriving, I would like to make mention of one thing that if we can do in the month of Ramadan. Indeed, we have been reading the Quran for many, many years. There are certain stations in life during the day where we reap the benefit of certain ayat of the Quran. So basically, after the salah, we are going to recite Ayatul Kursi. Allahu la ilaha illa huwal hayyul qayyum. And the reason why we recite it, because we know that if we recite it, the Nabi of Allah has said that there is nothing that will prevent this person from entering Jannah except his death. So the benefit of it encourages us to recite Ayatul Kursi. Before going to sleep, we recite Mu'awwadhatayn, the last two surahs of the Quran. The reason behind it is that we want to be safeguarded throughout the entire night when we have switched off. The Nabi of Allah sallallahu alaihi wasallam said, if you recite Mu'awwadhatayn, you will be safeguarded. On this pattern, there are many, many verses that we recite. Many people that recite Surah Yasin early in the morning because of the virtue that is attached to this surah. But we need to take the game, if I can use this word, without any level of disrespect. We need to take this game to the next level. We need to take this ta'alluq to the next level, where I need to connect to the entire package, not to the partial package, but to the entire package. If one person is traveling on a vessel that is in the ocean, and he places one foot on one vessel and the other foot on the other vessel, indeed he will remain balanced as long as the vessels are together. But once the vessels start to move away, this person will lose his balance. He will drop into the ocean. And we're going to drop into error if we do not place our standing upon the entire package. And I use the word temperament, the mizaj of the Quran. So in the month of Ramadan, we should make this a goal for this month of Ramadan, that I am going to study the Quran with at least translation from the start to the end. Start to the end. Let me allow you to travel with me in a verse, right, that has become controversial over social media. And basically it is controversial, and people, Muslims, have given different understandings pertaining to that one verse, and has caused more confusion. So one person stand up, he gives his own understanding pertaining to this verse. Then another person stands up, he gives his own understanding pertaining to that verse. Another person stands up, a sister stands up, confusing the Muslims and confusing the wider community. And the reason behind it is they have only studied that verse. They have not studied the entire Quran and understood the mizaj of the Quran. So let me highlight Surah Nisa, Surah number 4, verse number 34. So you have heard this many a times, and it was echoing. It was blown out of proportion by many, and many foolish people, Muslims, they boarded this journey and allowed the flame to grow. We have to be very wise, very intelligent, very vigilant. Why is this question being asked? Should I respond to it? Should I respond to this question first of all? And if I do respond to it, what is the method of approach? How do I construct the words? The wording is very, very important. Wording is very, very important. Zayd is married to Maryam. and one person says to Zayd, that your wife is coming, that's fine. Another person says to Zayd, your lover is coming. Now basically both are true. But you tell me, the impact of the second statement will be very different than the impact of the first statement. But they're both true. Your wife is coming, your lover is coming. How did you say that? We have to be very, very wise. First of all, we have to understand the ahwal, why these questions are coming up. There are certain reasons why certain questions are plucked, certain verses are plucked. And there's no shame if you say la adri. There's no shame if you say I do not know. It doesn't mean that if you are a Muslim, you are competent to reply to every question that is posed. So many a times people ring me and they say, Imam Sahib, somebody asked me a question and I responded, is it right? Allahu Akbar, why did you respond? They're asking me after that, was it right? Allahu Akbar. Can't do that. You have given information, the person has departed and left, and now you are confused yourself, did I impart the right information or not? There's every Christian around, every Christian, one person is born as a Christian in this country, if we go to that Christian and ask him, hey, question, and he says, I do not know, does that make him less worthy of a Christian? No. Why do we think that we should respond to every Islamic question that comes our way? No. If you are not certain 100%, don't reply to it. Say, La Adri. Great, great scholars. Great, great scholars. Imam Shafi, Rahimullah. One lady traveled from so far away, she came to Imam Shafi, Rahimahullah. And she said that, this is my question. He said, La Adri. She said, I made this journey, not the journey nowadays that we sit in a car and we travel in a few moments and we're there. I travel from far, far away and I've come to you because I know of your knowledge. Your name echoes in the Muslim world. He said, Ladri, I don't know. I just don't know. I can't tell you. That did that make him less worthy of the prolific status that is enjoyed by him? No. We should be very careful. And that's why the Nabi of Allah pointed out. He says, if a person gives an opinion regarding the Quran, gives an opinion regarding the Quran, and it is correct, but he gives this opinion, personal opinion, he has no support, he uses his mind, his intellect, and he gives the answer. Later on he consults with the Imam and he says, Imam Sahib, was it right? He says, it's right. The Nabi of Allah said, he's made a mistake. He's done wrong. Even if the outcome was right, still it is wrong. Because this time the outcome is right, but next time the outcome may not be right. What is wrong is to give the opinion. That is the wrong. Don't even entertain the question. Say, I do not know, la adri. This is not my forte. It's not for me. You go to the people that are responsible. So quickly, that ayat. So nowadays, many, many Muslims have been branded by the West to be responsible for domestic violence. Na'udhu billah. So people with beards, people with the kubba'a, the kalansuwa, people like us, right? The wider community think that we are committing domestic violence. Hum apni auraton ko maarte? Allahu Akbar. Indeed, the example, the role model of humanity never raised his hand. And he didn't have one wife. When you have one wife, there's less challenge. When you have two wives, there's more of a challenge. And when you have three wives, Allahu Akbar. How greater the challenge. The Nabi of Allah had many wives. Never raised his hand. It is not accepted in Islam. Now the verse that is being used, Wadribuhunna, verse 34, Surah Nisa, Surah number 4, that there are certain steps that have been highlighted in the Quran, and one of the steps is Wadribuhun. You can hit them. Men can hit their wives. So now, because people are talking about domestic violence, and keep in mind, this is a worldwide problem. It is not a problem linked to a faith. This is a problem linked to the person. It's linked to the person. But they're making this a problem of the Muslimun. And they're saying, why it is a problem against the Muslimun? Because the Quran allows it. So now they pose the question. Now the Muslims, they stand up. They're trying to defend. Not understanding why the question has been posed. What is the trick and the deception behind this? Should I be responding to this or not? But everyone, every male, every female, a person that is eloquent, that can speak, that knows the language, English, they will stand up and they will think that they are responsible to defend. But even before studying the verse and giving their opinion upon the verse, their own opinion, shouldn't we discuss why this verse came down? This verse came down, and I'm giving you, trying to understand the mizaj of the Quran. This verse came down to give the husband and the wife the opportunity to salvage the marriage. But forget about this. We start midway through the discussion. We forget about the reason. The verse came to give instructions to the husband and the wife that are having problems in their married life to salvage the marriage. Simple question nowadays, if somebody raises his hand upon his wife, is the possibility of salvaging the marriage increase or reduce? You got no chance. You got no chance of salvaging your marriage. Now this is another topic, why it was introduced and why it was given a permission. This is 1400 years ago. But nowadays, we're looking at the steps. If you raise your hand upon a female, taking this verse and understanding it vahiri, superficially, are you going to salvage the marriage or destroy your marriage? I'm going to destroy the marriage. There may be a medicine in the time of the Nabi of Allah, that people used to take. But that medicine is not taken nowadays. Because times have changed. There is one person, he goes to the doctor, and the doctor says, this is your medicine. I've got a headache, this is your medicine. Another person goes, he has an identical headache. He says, Dr. Saab, can I take this medicine? No, not for you, not for you. Because you have other conditions. You have other conditions, you can't take this medicine. You have to take a different medicine. Doesn't this happen in medicine? Because we look at the entire person. The person nowadays and the environment in which we are is very, very different than 1400 years ago. You can't apply everything identically, especially when it is defeating the purpose, the reason why the verse came down. And this will only be understood. This hikmah and this wisdom comes only when we study the Quran from cover to cover. Make it your goal in the month of Ramadan to study the Quran with translation. And don't pick and choose verses and then comment upon them. Turn towards the right medium through which you can gain the true knowledge in the light of our predecessors. Allah Rabbul Izzat, allow us to live a life based upon the Quran. And Allah Almighty, allow us to beautify ourselves with the message of the Quran. Subhanakallahumma wa bihamdika ashhadu an la ilaha illa ant astaghfiruka wa atubu ilayka.